Many liturgical prayers, they end with the phrase, "Even so, come Lord Jesus." Even the book of Revelation in chapter 22, verse 20, it ends with, "He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come Lord Jesus." And why shouldn't we long for his coming? A new heaven and a new earth? No more sin, no more pain, no more death, no more tears, no more sorrow. All of that certainly sounds good to me right now. Come, Lord Jesus. Today, as we continue this Questions of Christmas series that we're going through, do you really want God to come? See, this desire, this prayer is nothing new. The Old Testament, it ends with a prophecy in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, and it says, "But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and laws I gave at Horeb for all Israel? See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of children to their parents. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. And then for some 400 years, God's people lived with the expectation of God's coming and breaking in again. And yes, I did use the word again. Because God has a history of breaking in. And every time he comes down and he breaks in, it's a new beginning. Throughout the Old Testament, we see God breaking in with new beginnings. The Bible, it begins with the words, "In the beginning, God." And then God judged the world with a flood. But after the flood of judgment, God began again with just Noah and his family. Then after, he judged the world for their attempt to build this tower in Babel that would reach all the way to the heavens. And God provided another new beginning found in Genesis chapter 12. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." See, God was saying to Abraham, there is a better world, a better life out there. Go to it. When God breaks in, things will not be the same. Life will be better. To travel with God is to go to a better place. And so it continued. God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and he formed a people, Israel. And then he came down and he broke in again through a series of plagues and disasters to free them from slavery by opening a sea so that they could escape the enemy. By providing them with manna every single day for 40 years. By leading them with a cloud and a pillar of fire. And then with Joshua as their leader, God moved his nation into a promised land full of provision and blessing. It was a new beginning. And then in the centuries that follow, God sent them prophets to teach them, judges to deliver them, and kings to rule over them. And with each prophet and judge and king, it was a new beginning. It's no wonder, then, that Mark actually began his gospel with the announcement of a new beginning. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. Jesus, The name comes from the common Hebrew name Joshua, which means Jehovah's salvation. But Mark makes this an uncommon name by adding Messiah, the anointed one. In other words, this Jesus, he is not common. He is the anointed one, chosen one of God. He is the Christ. And Mark's announcement was exciting. It was cause for anticipation and for joy, because it communicated that something new and different had broken into his readers' lives, because God had come down and broken in through Jesus Christ. And then Jesus, he continually provided people with new beginnings. He drove out evil spirits. He healed those who came to him. He cured lepers. He ended paralysis. He gave sight to the blind. Calmed stormy seas. He raised dead people back to life. He fed large crowds of people with just a few loaves and some fish. He even claimed that he had come to give his life as a ransom for many. What an awesome God. What an awesome Savior. Whenever and wherever God comes down and breaks in, there are new beginnings. So why shouldn't we long for his coming? Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Really? Are we sure? Perhaps we should look at the rest of the story. Let's be sure that the picture is complete. The truth is that God's breaking in has consequences. And there are a couple that I would like for us to look at this morning. First, God's coming in is sometimes disturbing and uncomfortable. You see, God did provide a new beginning with Abraham, but you realize Abraham had to pull up his roots, leave his home and leave his family, and travel to a place that he had never, ever been before. That would have been uncomfortable. God did provide a new beginning through Noah, but Noah had to endure the ridicule of his neighbors and his countrymen as he labored all those years to build an ark. And then he had to live with the death of his friends and his neighbors. Only his family survived. Certainly uncomfortable. God broke into Jeremiah's life, and he called him to be a prophet, but his life was filled with rejection and opposition. He wound up writing a book that we actually call Lamentations. That's disturbing. God came down to Mary and told her that she would give birth to his son. But Mary, she was young. She was a virgin, and she faced the scorn and the condemnation of her townspeople, as all she can offer in her defense is, "My baby came straight from God." Would have been mighty uncomfortable. Think of God coming down and breaking in through Jesus. Shortly after Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, after he was born, baby boys were slaughtered all throughout the land. That's disturbing. Jesus, he healed a blind man in John chapter 9. And then that blind man was condemned by the religious leaders, who also condemned and rejected Jesus. Mighty disturbing. Jesus healed a demonic man who then wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus told him that he was supposed to go back home and tell his family and his friends what had happened. That would have been uncomfortable. Jesus soundly criticized the religious leaders of his day. That's uncomfortable. Jesus said that to follow him, we need to deny ourselves, take up a cross and follow him, that we must lose our lives in order to find him. That was uncomfortable and disturbing. Second, sometimes God's coming makes life difficult and confusing. God broke into Job's life and allowed Satan to take away his wealth and his children, to put Job in physical misery. Really difficult and very confusing. God sent Jesus as the Messiah, but he wound up being crucified. The mighty conqueror conquered? Certainly confusing. Jesus, he called his disciples to follow him. They had to leave everyone and everything to be with him. That's difficult. Jesus said that those who follow him will be persecuted. Difficult and confusing. Jesus, he broke into the life of a man named Saul, who was making it his life's aim to persecute and, if necessary, kill Christians. And Saul, as many of you know, became Paul, who was the greatest missionary that the world has ever known. But do you realize he endured beatings, floggings, imprisonment, and eventually even execution? You talk about difficult and confusing. So do you really want God to come? To break into your life? Do you really want to say, even so, come Lord Jesus? Now I pray that you do, and that you will, each and every one of you. But if you do, be prepared. Consider some lessons learned about God's breaking in. The first lesson is that when God breaks in, it's time to repent. It may well mean that God wants us to seek forgiveness for some aspect of our life. But you see, repentance is more than that. It's more than just forgiveness. It represents a reorientation of one's whole life, personality. The adoption of a new ethical line of conduct, a forsaking of sin and a turning to righteousness. When God breaks in, he shows us some changes that we need to make, some places that we need to go. See, we need to turn around and head in another direction. When God breaks in, life will never again be the same. If you want him to come, be prepared to turn around. Second, when God breaks in, it's time to give up control. There's a wonderful revealing scene that we can find at the end of John's gospel in John chapter 21. Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I'm telling you the very truth now. When you were young, you dressed yourself and you went wherever you wished. But when you get old, you'll have to stretch out your hands while someone else dresses you and takes you where you don't want to go." He said this to him to hint at the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he commanded, "Follow me." Turning his head, Peter noticed the disciple Jesus loved following right behind. When Peter noticed him, he asked Jesus, "Master, what's going to happen to him?" Jesus said, "If I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me." This is how the rumor got out among the brothers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said. He simply said, "If I want him to live until I come again, what's that to you? You follow me." You see, give up control. Just follow God where he leads you and where he is guiding you. Thirdly, when God breaks in, it's time to change the way we live. We need to examine and perhaps even reverse our values. Mary, in Luke chapter 1, she's saying that God scatters the proud, brings down the rulers and lifts up the humble, that he fills the hungry and he sends the rich away empty. John the Baptist, he preached that we are to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And when he was asked what that meant, he responded with, "Anyone who has two shirts should share with one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same." Even tax collectors came to be baptized. "Teacher," they asked, What should we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. Then some soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And he replied, don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. Now Jesus, he said in Matthew chapter 5 that those who are blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who mourn, who are meek, who hunger and thirst for righteousness, those who are merciful and pure in heart, those who are peacemakers and who are persecuted. You see, when God breaks in, it's time to reevaluate and possibly change our values. When God breaks in, we are also to reform our character. Peter, in his second letter, he wrote that since we are waiting for Jesus to come again, for God to break in again, that we are to live holy and godly lives, making every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with God. So this morning, what kind of character are you? Where are you at? See, when God breaks in, we may also need to reorder our priorities. Are we loving God with all of our heart and soul and mind and strength? Are we loving our neighbors as ourselves? Every time that God breaks in, he asks for more of us. Jesus, in fact, said that we are to deny ourselves, to lose ourselves, that we are to die for him. After all, that is the way that Jesus went. In John chapter 12, Jesus answered them, "The hour has now come for the Son of Man to receive great glory. I am telling you the truth. A grain of wheat remains no more than a single grain unless it is dropped into the ground and dies. If it does die, then it produces many grains. Those who love their own life will lose it. Those who hate their own life in this world will keep it for life eternal. Whoever wants to serve me must follow me, so that my servant will be with me where I am, and my Father will honor anyone who serves me." Do you really want God to come? He who testifies to these things says, "Yes, I am coming soon." So this morning, can we say, "Amen, come, amen, Lord Jesus"?